Hello and welcome to Irish Science Fiction. My name is Brian Sexton. You're about to listen to, hopefully, Chapter 32 of Nancy Goodame, the Space Ranger, which will last about 15 minutes. And I suppose, in a way, welcome back to outer space. So, a hen, a daw, a tree, and away we go. Now, at this stage in Nancy's story, it might be a good idea to have a bit of a recap. So, the main event is the fact that the European Space Agency lost contact with its San-like mission to Mars just as the first crewed mission to that planet was preparing a descent to the surface. That break in communication was preceded by a report of a large, high-altitude plasma discharge from the San-like 1 spacecraft. Contact was lost with both the San-like 1 and San-like 2 spacecraft. And then what happened was, two-thirds of the San-like 1 crew met up with a Martian sheriff and a waitress, who would later travel to Jupiter to form an underground army and an efficient canteen workflow on that planet, in that order. Mission specialist Nancy McGinley found herself travelling from Mars to Jupiter and eventually to a town known as Bundrosna, where she witnessed the death of a Jupiterian customs official known as Lena Tadaleno, and found herself befriending a pair of elderly Jupiterian shopkeepers known as Haban and Shinobel Unterwackel. Shan Laba Feistin is a place of ondulatory mist, a place of dark and sinister magic, a place where most Jupiterians fear to tread, a place of myth, a place where worry, suspicion, hatred, bitterness, terror, and fear hang in the air, noted Haban Unterwackel. She nodded at Shinobel as she spoke, and he nodded in agreement. Yes, he said. Are you sure the Flomp said it was Shan Laba Feistin that your friend was? Yes, said Nancy. Not Druk Laba Feistin? No, said Nancy. Pity, said Shinobel. Why? Asked Nancy. Because it's got lovely beaches, and the food is unreal, even by Jupiterian standards. It surely is, agreed Haban. Myself and Shinobel took our honeymoon there. Well, that's nice, said Nancy. So do you know where Shan Laba Feistin is? You know what? Said Shinobel. We should take a trip to Druk Laba Feistin, all of us, as soon as we destroy the Sosnak Empire and, I suppose, batter Sosman to death. Don't forget about Balafanker. We need to inflict pain on him too, added Haban. I know that, Haban. Sure, isn't he a Sosniak? Wouldn't destroying the Sosnak Empire mean giving him a kicking too? Didn't you say you wanted to ram a Habernacle wand up his fat arse at the end of chapter 30? So what if I did? So what is that obviously I know you want to take your revenge. I do too, although I'd be happy just to give him a few boots to the head. But whatever happens, it doesn't mean we can't go to Druk Laba Feistin when we're done. So where is Shan Laba Feistin? Asked Nancy. Nobody knows, said Shinobel. I'm surprised the Flomp didn't tell you that.
That's not strictly true, Shinobel. What about the Witch of Malnivor?
Oh yeah, sorry. Except the Witch of Malnivor. She knows where Shan Laba Feistin is.
And the wizard Oberon, he knows where it is too, added Haban.
The wizard's dead, said Nancy. He died in chapter 23. He got eaten by marmsicles.
Ah, well, that's no great loss, said Haban. He probably wouldn't have told you anyway. He's a bit of a bollocks. Nobody really likes him round here. The Witch of Malnivor himself used to go out together, you know. They made an odd couple. She's pure sound, but I knew it wouldn't last. Their romance ended very badly, so I doubt she'd be too put out to hear he's dead.
Probably not, agreed Shinobel. But I thought she used to go out with Sosman Borkstapple, and not the wizard Oberon. And they fell out when he tried to ban magic from the cities. That's why, she moved to the Tarab Hills.
Ah, for obligong's sake, Shinobel. You never get the gossip right. Sosman Borkstapple and the Witch of Malnivor. Could you imagine it? Actually, Sosman Borkstapple and anybody would be weird. Sosman loves himself too much to have room for anyone else. How do you suppose we hooked up with the Witch of Malnivor anyway? Ah, you and gossip, Shinobel. I bet if it was something about space rockets, you'd have every last detail perfect.
Hang on, Haban. I don't have it wrong. Wasn't the wizard Oberon doing a line with that little fat lad that used to hang out with him?
Schlacht?
Yeah, Schlacht. Harmless we yoked that fella. But when Sosman Borkstapple found out about the affair, he banished the wizard Oberon to the Forest of Proverbs.
That makes even less sense, Shinobel. You have your gossip all topsy-turvy as usual. Oberon was with the Witch of Malnivor, but then she found out he was having an affair with Schlacht and got pure tick. So Oberon and Schlacht quietly buggered off to the Forest of Proverbs.
Really? Is that true? Well, I had it wrong, so...
So come here, how did the witch find out about Oberon and Schlacht anyway? You'd think that'd be the kind of thing they'd want to keep quiet. Schlacht's twin Schrachter told her, Ah, I'd have thought Schlocht would have had more sense than let that horrible little tattletale Schrachter find out. He's his own brother. Surely Schlocht would have known what he's like. That ugly little schlieving Schrachter wouldn't hold piss. I think he enjoys stirring up trouble.
Sorry, Bon Schnabel, can we get back on with finding the witch?
Asked Nancy.
Of course Schrachter enjoys causing trouble, said Bon, ignoring Nancy. It's a wonder those two are twins. Goes to show how much part nature plays in the character of a Jupiterian. Schlocht is a horrible little waste of flesh, but Schlocht is a decent skin.
I think Schlocht's dead, noted Nancy.
Dead?
Asked Abon.
Schlocht?
Asked Schnabel.
The poor lad, said Abon. When did that happen?
Asked Schnabel.
Chapter 19. He died some time before Oberon passed away, replied Nancy.
That's shocking, said Abon. And what happened?
Nancy absent-mindedly fingered the crossbow holstered at her side and looked at the ground.
I'm not sure, she muttered. It was a long time ago.
But chapter 19 was only the day before yesterday, said Schnabel.
Yes, but, muttered Nancy. Well, time moves faster on Earth, so it's a long time to me. Where can we find this witch of Mullnavore?
I don't know, Nancy, said Abon. Well, I did, but I forgot. I'm not great with directions. I usually just remember how to get here, and I'm here now. Hang on. I'll ask someone out in the street.
Abon Underwackle then walked back over to the shop door she had previously slammed shut behind the three departed Sosniak visitors, opened it, and stepped outside. Nancy looked out onto the street. There were more Jupiterians walking about than before, and the place looked livelier than it had done. It was still the same dark paving and dimly lit street, but it seemed brighter. Nancy put it down to the pace of the passers-by. It was still dark, though.
Does Bondrosnan get busier at night? She asked.
No, replied Schnabel, but people usually tend to keep their heads down for fear of getting picked on by a Sosniak knobend like Balfanker. Now that the patrol has just left, it's safe enough to assume that there won't be another one, for a while anyway. Most folk try to get their business done right after the patrol leaves.
Nancy followed Abon out onto the street. Schnabel followed behind her. All three stood at the edge of the relatively busy paved street.
Hey!
Yelled Abon loudly to nobody in particular.
Does anyone know where the Witch of Mullnavore lives?
Three of the passers-by stopped and looked at each other. They then looked to Abon. Two of them shook their heads, while the third scratched an armpit with a bony hand, then scratched a temple with the same bony hand and said,
She's away up in the Tarab Hills, isn't she? I'm asking you,
snapped Abon.
Right then,
said the bony-handed passer-by.
Then my answer is Tarab Hills.
The words Tarab Hills were loud enough to inspire a fourth passer-by to stop and say,
What's this about the Tarab Hills? They're the place where the Witch of Mullnavore lives. That's what's about the Tarab Hills, said the bony-handed stranger. What's it to you?
I was just curious, said the fourth passer-by,
who was male, tall, and carried himself with a confidence that seemed absent from the first three.
Just nosy, more like,
muttered the bony-handed passer-by.
How do I know you're not a Sosniak spy?
So what if I am?
Snapped a curious and freshly insulted fourth passer-by.
So what is that? I'd mash that cheeky mouth of yours out the back of your head if you were.
Go ahead so, you bony little freak,
snapped a tall, confident, recently insulted and even more recently threatened fourth passer-by.
Because I am a Sosniak spy and I'll make sure the Sosniaks have you spending the rest of your life looking out from behind bars, but not before I inflict violent pain on that bony little hide of yours.
The tall, confident man then turned to Abon and said,
In the name of Sosman Borkstapel, explain to me your business with the Tarab Hills, because if there's one thing I know about that place, only renegades and deserters bother with there.
You're a Sosniak?
Asked Abon.
Yes,
replied the confident passer-by.
You do know that the patrol has left, and you're here on your own?
Yes,
replied the man. His tone was slightly less confident.
And if we ripped you to pieces right here in the street, nobody would raise an objection,
added Abon.
Said the man.
His confidence had faltered.
You wouldn't want to do that,
he added weakly.
But we'll have to do it now,
said Abon.
Because as sure as day will follow this night, you're going to run off to your Sosniak buddies with a tale of woe.
A further two passers-by stopped to listen. The tall man looked scared and his eyes darted around at Nancy, Abon, Schnabel, and the three others who had stopped.
By the nine triangulas of Bongrong, you Bondrosna peasants will not get away with insulting a member of the Sosniak forces,
he shouted and waited for a response. This, as it turned out, was a bit of a miscalculation for the man. The group of eight and the high-volume statement he had shouted had the effect of achieving the social critical mass necessary for a large crowd to form, and the group watching him rapidly expanded to 24 people.
What's going on? Yelled someone.
The lads are after catching a Sosniak spy,
yelled someone else.
Kill him,
shouted someone.
No, 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 torture him,
yelled someone else.
Tear his interior vestibule out through his pontulus,
suggested another.
With a spoon,
yelled someone else.
Hang on, I'll grab a shovel,
yelled yet another person in the crowd. The enthusiastic suggestions caused more passers-by to stop and the gathered crowd to expand further, so much so that Nancy could no longer see up and down the street for the sea of heads. The yells and suggestions rapidly became louder and more gruesome. It became clear to Nancy that something messy and unpleasant was about to take place, and the death of the tragically curious and aggressively confident Sosniak informer was going to be both violent and unpleasant. She felt the urge to intervene. Something told her a quick death would be to the benefit of all involved. She silently reached for her crossbow, set up a bolt, lifted the riser towards the tall stranger, and fired.
Dunk!
The stranger collapsed to his knees and lurched sideways. The feathers of a crossbow bolt protruded from his left ear. Nancy stepped forward, placed a European Space Agency boot on his temple, and yanked the bolt free. The crowd went silent. An edgy sort of silence. An edgy sort of silence where nobody is sure what to do next.
That woman is from Earth,
explained Chernobyl loudly. Ah, said several Jupiterians in the crowd. It was not an ah of understanding, more of a polite response to Chernobyl's offered explanation, and of relief that the edgy silence had been broken.
She's looking to chat to the Witch of Molinivore. Do any of you know where the witch lives?
Asked Haban.
Yes,
said a sturdy-looking middle-aged woman at the front of the large crowd. The crowd were dividing their attention between the horizontal and deceased formerly confident Sosniak spy and Nancy. Several others at the front of the crowd nodded in agreement with the sturdy woman.
You follow the main Shan Valamore transport artery until it becomes significantly less bumpy.
Significantly,
agreed someone.
Then take a turn and head for the hills. You won't miss them. They'll be beside you.
Yes, beside you,
agreed the voice.
After that, keep going until one of the Abadine monks comes out to meet you.
Out to meet you,
said the same voice.
Tell her about the vow of silence,
said someone else.
I was about to, said the sturdy woman. Just follow the monk. He'll lead you to the abbot. The monks aren't allowed to talk, but the abbot is, and he'll give you directions to the Witch of Molinivore,
continued the woman.
The Witch of Molinivore is decent. Nobody here has a bad word to say about her,
she added.
Yeah, and she hates Sosman Borkstapel too,
added someone else. Nancy nodded and turned to Haban. Do you know how to get to the Shan Valamore transport artery?
Yes,
said Haban.
But we're coming with you anyways.
Are we?
Asked Chernobyl.
Yes,
said Haban.
I just forgot to tell you. Go in and grab a pair of Tom Galodian axes, will you? We might be needing them,
she added. Chernobyl walked back in the door and into the yellow-lit interior of the building. The crowd outside broke into smaller groups that began chatting quietly between themselves. Nancy ignored the conversations.
Is Shan Valamore artery far?
She asked.
Depends,
replied Haban.
From here? No, not far at all.
Nancy placed the bolt back in her quiver and holstered the crossbow.
And is it easy to spot when the road gets less bumpy?
What do you think? Bondrosna folk are sound, but they're hopeless at directions, myself included. Catch!
Yelled Chernobyl from inside the building. An axe flew out the door at speed. Haban reached her left hand in the air and snatched the axe mid-flight. She then tossed it in the air and it spun in a circle for several revolutions, but it fell down into a large belt loop at the side of Haban's ragged jacket. Chernobyl stepped out of the door and closed it behind him.
Right, he said. Will you lead the way, Haban? I've forgotten what the directions were. Go to the abbot of Abadine and ask for the monk or something, I think,
said Haban. I remember, said Nancy. We need to go to the Shan Valamore transport artery and head for the Tariff Hills.
Oh yeah, of course, said Haban. Shan Valamore artery is up the end of the street and left.
Haban then walked through the now partially dispersed crowd. Nancy and Chernobyl followed behind her. Haban stopped at the edge of the crowd.
Hey, somebody better do something about the body of that fella. Hey, wouldn't do for a Sosniak patrol to find their spy dead in the middle of the street,
she said loudly.
What should we do? Asked someone.
Do ye grab it and dump him outside town on the road to cool it off. Even the Sosniaks wouldn't bother their holes visiting that place,
said Haban. This prompted a ripple of laughter from the crowd.
Stupid Kuldafians,
said someone, which prompted even more laughter. Haban started walking again. Chernobyl looked at the crowd and then to Nancy.
I'm not sure hiding the body is going to be enough to keep those Sosniak muppets at bay,
he said.
Why do you say that?
Asked Nancy.
Because I'm pretty sure I saw that ugly sneak Shrakta in the crowd, said Chernobyl.
Haban stopped walking.
Shrakta was there?
Yes, of course, said Chernobyl. It'd be weird for him to miss out on a bit of misery.
That horrible little goblin seems to feed on other people's hardship, and getting an extraterrestrial feathery shaft through your anterior hedular appendage is a miserable thing to happen, even for a Sozniak spy. You're right this time, noted Abon. Which makes a change for you, she added. What can we do? This could be a problem. That sneaky little tattletale will be off to the nearest Sozniak outpost to tell them what we're up to as quick as his fat little legs will wobble him, she concluded.
Wait 1 minute, said Nancy. She walked back over to the partially dispersed crowd. I'm looking for a Jupiterian called Shrakta, she announced. All of the gathered groups fell silent. Which one of ye is Shrakta? Said Nancy. There was a low murmur among a group close to the horizontal deceased former Sozniak spy, and five of the six in the group stepped back and pointed to a small man. He is, they said sheepishly. Nancy stepped over to the group and nodded at the man. Good. I wanted to know who you were, she said. I might have to come back looking for you if word of what I was doing got back to the Sozniaks. She paused and added, I nearly forgot. Condolences. Your brother is dead. Nancy didn't wait for a response. She turned and walked back to Habon and Schnabel. Both looked at her silently before all three continued on their way up the paved street to Shambalamore Transport Artery. And that was it for the late evening in Bundrosna on the fourth day of the first human expedition to another planet. A spurned witch, an intimidated tattletale, a dead Sozniak spy, an underground army of sorts, a murderous robot, a potential route to Shanlava Feistine, and the last known copy of the Book of Bongerlan adrift on the Sea of Uncertainty on Jupiter. All right, thanks for listening to that. Fair play. If you're keeping with this story, number 33 will be out the week after next, and keep rolling away, hopefully week on week till the summer after that. And thanks very much. Chat to you again.